Centers for Proctoring and Jurisprudence Exam, pursuant to AACR 421-203C. University of Missouri, St. Louis College of Optometry. Well, if we can't give one to them, who can we give? Any problems with that?
No. Do we make a motion on this one, too? This is Dr. Jones.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I think because then you add them.
Yeah, I make a motion to accept University of Missouri St. Louis College of Optometry as one of our testing centers.
Is there a second?
Dr. Matthews, I second.
And any discussion on this? Okay, hearing none. Dr. Jones?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Hunter?
Aye.
Dr. Mastoris?
Aye.
And I also vote aye. So, Margaret, basically you have a list of approved centers, so if anyone ever calls you, you just send them this list and say, as we've done this for years now, but you just basically have a list that's been approved.
Yes, that's correct, Mr. President. Ms. Hollins keeps that letter updated.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay, review, discussion, and possible action on approval of continuing education as provided by ARS 1704D and AAC R4-21-210. And this is for a continuing education class that I believe it was going to take place in May, right? I think I saw the dates.
Yes.
Or was it March?
At the end of this month.
March.
At the end of March.
Okay.
But the course was submitted prior to the dates.
Right. And so
it said May on
what I read.
Yeah.
You know, I thought maybe MAI in French was March. I don't know if this is going to happen. Or if it's going to happen, is it going to happen, off-site, like a lot of them are going to now. But not all CE is going to be done electronically. That, you know, you might have been signed up for some CE, but they're not all going to do it electronically during this time when they can't have the physical meeting. So if we approve this based on what we do, somehow we have to know how they did it, if you know what I mean. And again, these are different times. We now not only have to approve it, we have to make sure it happened.
Okay. Mr. President, members of the board, this is Margaret Whalen.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It should have been May and not March. So that was a clerical or administrative error on the agenda.
I thought it was May until I saw March on the agenda. But
it was, and I apologize. I put March instead of May. So I do want to approve it for the correct date, so if the board could just make that clarification.
Okay. I mean, from what I could tell, with what little was in English, it seemed approvable. But again, I doubt they're going to have this meeting. Somehow we have to find out from her how this was done. Or will she say that when she submits it?
I'm not sure.
It says here, this is Dr. Jones, it says lecture on site is what it says here, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I guess it really doesn't matter. I guess it really doesn't matter if we approve it, meaning if we think it's okay, we can approve it. If it doesn't happen, then obviously she can't submit it. And if it does happen electronically, I'm sure she'll tell us that it happened that way.
Mr. President,
we are going to approve. Yeah.
Excuse me. This is Margaret Whalen, Mr. President, members of the board. I think currently, because of the situation, as you've been stating, a lot of the in-person courses that are being recorded and offered online just by electronic means are still considered in-person courses.
Right.
They're not considered online.
Right.
So I think even if this falls into that category, it would still be, if you approve it, the 11 hours of regular in-person CE.
Okay. Did anyone see a problem with it?
No.
Right. So we need a motion.
In your motion, this is Margaret.
This.
Could you please also state the change in, or the correction of the date?
Okay.
Thank you.
I'd like to, I'll make the motion that we accept this CPRO CE that's going to take place in May, May 23rd and 24th in Canada for 11 hours of regular CE.
This is Dr. Moffat.
Does that sound right?
Yes.
Did that sound okay?
Perfect.
Okay. All right. Any discussion? Okay. Dr. Jones.
Aye.
Dr. Moffat.
Aye.
Dr. Hunter.
Aye.
Dr. Mastores.
Aye.
And I also vote aye. Thank you. Executive Director's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This is Margaret Whalen speaking. The budget update for this month, as a reminder, the appropriation for the Board of Optometry for fiscal year 20 is $240,700. As of March 31st, 2020, 75% of the fiscal year has elapsed, with the board spending at 76.06%. We are higher than our percentage of fiscal year elapsed due to paying the full amount of rent and Central Services Bureau charges, which is a total of $30,900. The beginning cash balance was $346,518 with an ending cash balance of $362,267. So our fund balance is healthy and we remain intact to date.
We're going to get swept this year, you know.
let's hope not.
They're going to need money.
The executive orders addressing the COVID-19 issues, I do have summaries for each of those. I'm actually going to defer to the board members and ask if you want the specific summary for each of these or if you just wanted me to report that they were all kind of on the COVID. There is one that I do want to speak to that's a newer one.
I think most of us have read these and know of them, so I don't think you have to go over each one.
Well,
but anything you think is important
March
for us to know.
So, but let me.
Anything you think is important?
Yes, I do. I have two. So one of them is Executive Order 2020-21. That's a newer one that just came out, I think, on April 6th. And that actually affects or is directed to small businesses, which I think a lot of our licensees would fall under. The governor has a very specific list of what he considers a commercial tenant, and that's a sole proprietor, a partnership, a C corporation, an S corporation, limited liability company, which optometrists can be, independent contractors, self-employed, 501c3, 501c19, and tribal businesses. Basically, this... this gives the leniency to a tenant to not have to pay the rent due to hardship or to pay any to waive late fees and penalties and interest that might be associated with not paying on time for your building rent or for any other tenant-related items. So I think that would be a good one for our licensees to check out, those that do have a small business, have a private practice. And that is also available on the governor's website.
I was just going to ask you a question about that real quick, Margaret.
Yes, please.
This is Dr. Moffat. So it's the deferral of rent, or it's you don't have to pay rent?
Let's see.
Deferral of rent without fees, or is it you waiver of rent without fees?
So they can defer it or adjust it due to financial hardship caused by the pandemic. That's a number two under the order.
Yeah, depending on how long it goes, they may ask them to defer at some point in time because people just aren't going to have the money to be able to go back and pay all this. But
well, and it also...
sounds like right now.
Yeah, it is a temporary fix just for the moment, but it also... seeks a delay in eviction, lockout, or other inhibition of operations, or you can request a reduction or deferral of rent payments. So it's actually a pretty intensive order, so I would recommend taking a look at it. Again, we don't regulate practice management or do anything like that, but I thought it was really important because For us, ARS 3217-53 is our practice designations, and I do think optometrists fall under that as far as how they've incorporated themselves.
Do we have these all executive orders listed on our website, or do we say anything about referring to them that optometrists should look at these without listing them all, or talking about each one of them? Do we have anything on there that says all optometrists are advised or is recommended that you look at the executive orders from the governor to help you gauge your practice during this time?
I don't specifically, Dr. Chrysagas, but I can certainly add that to our homepage. That's not a problem. I usually get the word out to the associations of Arizona, like the big association, and then, KAOS and SEAS, and just to help out, to their membership. But I can definitely put that on our website because all the orders are on the governor's website.
What was this order number? I'm sorry, Margaret.
It's Executive Order 2020-21.
Okay.
The last one on our list, on our agenda.
Yeah, I see.
But yeah, having that on there, I think having that on there is good, just because that way we don't hear from people that say, well, I'm not a member of the AOA or the AZOA, so how would I find that out? Well, we just have some on here on our website that says you can go look here if you want to get some more information on the governor's executive orders.
So right.
I think having it on there would be a good thing.
Yeah, there. And also, if you would go look at the orders, there is an order that came out yesterday, and it's just called the Good Samaritan Order. Optometrists are not included on that, but it's for frontline healthcare workers. It's an order protecting them from liability, basically. So it's just interesting to look at. But again, optometrists are not included.
Yeah. Yeah, if you could put just a little blurb on there to licensees that at least know that there's another spot that they could get some to see what's going on the state level.
Definitely. I will take care of that today.
Okay.
Any other questions about any of the other orders on there? Okay. Item 14, the legislative update, possible early closure or completion of session. The 54th legislature's second regular session began Monday, January 13th, 2020. As of March 20th, 2020, the 68th day of legislation, 1,506 bills were introduced. Monday, February 10th, 2020 was the deadline for House to introduce legislation. The last day for committee to hear bills in the Chamber of Origin was February 21st. Under the current circumstances, with the exception of a, quote, skinny budget, that's what they're kind of calling it, or just like a basic skeleton budget, and bills to ensure continued operations for state government, the legislature has suspended all committee action, debate, and votes on all legislation for the foreseeable future. The decision came after action taken by Governor Ducey to declare a state of emergency in an effort to provide relief and guidance to Arizona agencies to reduce the negative effects on public health officials and Arizonans from the COVID pandemic. The governor has, as you know, been issuing executive orders to address Arizonans regarding the COVID-19 related issues. As you probably saw, there was no estimate as to when session will resume, if at all. To date, there hasn't been signed eye, so to be honest, no one's really entirely sure if the legislature is coming back or what they're doing. So that's the update for that.
Kind of like, why should they be any different from the rest of us?
What's that?
Why should they be any different than the rest of us? We don't know when we're going back to work.
Are there any future agenda items that you would like on the next agenda? Okay, hearing none.
Is that a cough?
It's allergies.
sure it is.
Future board meeting dates. I do have two complaints that were held to be on the next board meeting, and I also have received two new complaints, so I'll probably at least at this time have four complaints and applications, possibly none. We don't know. So I don't know if the board wants to meet in May, if there's something going on that we can't have a quorum, or if you want to wait till June.
What's the second Friday of May? I'm on my calendar.
The 8th.
May 8th. Okay.
I vote May.
So we'd be looking at May.
I don't know if I'm doing May.
Or June 12th.
Yeah. I would just as soon do May if you've got two complaints and two more coming. I would, at this point in time, I'd say even if we are back, we can probably do it telephonically, because that's the other problem. When they open things up, what's the big decision to open things up? Is everyone to go back to life as normal? I mean, it's going to be a bigger decision to open things back up than it was to close things, I think.
I agree.
What's going to make it okay? So I would almost say that if we do it, can we do it telephonically? We're getting
absolutely
good at this.
Mr. President, members of the board, I think today's meeting has gone fantastically. I think everyone understands their role as, telephonic board members. I don't think anyone has really spoken over the top of each other or had, severe confusion with any of the discussions. So I applaud you for sure, and I think our board is very capable of having a telephonic meeting. Again.
Unless Dr. Moffitt wants to drive up from Tucson and Dr. Hunter wants to drive over from Safford, I mean, we can accommodate them.
This is Dr. Moffitt, and I'm perfectly comfortable with a telephonic meeting.
I bet you are.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Hunter, at some point, I want to meet all you guys.
Well, go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
I was just saying, someday I want to meet you guys all in person.
Yeah, you got a great voice.
This is Margaret. Ms. Baskin, are you available on May 8th?
Yes, I was just going to jump in and let you all know that I am available on May 8th, and I also do want to concur that I think that the board handled the meeting. It went very, very smoothly. You made a very clear record. You were able to let your licensees and your complainants and attorneys speak, and I applaud you all. It was a very good and clear meeting. So, and I am available on May 8th.
Thank you. All right, so Mr. President, if you're concurring, then we'll look at May 8th at 9 a.m. regular scheduled time, regular day. We'll just be telephonic.
Yeah.
Okay, so May 8th at 9 a.m. telephonic. Was everyone able to access the materials sufficiently? No problems, technically, hopefully?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. That concludes my report, Mr. President.
Okay, on time.
Dr. Matthews, I have a question. I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Were we going to issue, some sort of statement about CE being, live? Was there something that we needed to discuss and issue to our board member or to our constituents?
I thought we did.
This is Margaret Whalen. Well, actually, I somehow omitted it from the agenda. I think I had it on my draft, and I took it off, and it didn't end up on the final agenda, so we aren't able to discuss it today. That was the document that I sent, I think, yesterday or the day before.
That's one of the number one questions I have people asking me about.
Me
too, I'm sure.
Ms. Baskin, I mean, can the board give authority to the board president to review it and approve it or accept it, not to approve it unilaterally, but without having another
Ms. Whalen, I understand that. I think that under your executive orders, you list those. I think maybe you can... the board has already directed you to put a link to the executive order. So if you wanted to maybe read into the record what you wish to put up on your website, I think that would be part of the whole board's directive to do that.
Oh.
I know that's going to be long, but.
Alrighty.
Margaret, but correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't the executive order say that any continuing education that is, that was going to be live, that is now electronic, would be considered live.
Correct.
Meaning,
right.
So Dr. Mastoris, just for people that are asking you, if they're taking, they're not going to be, in my estimation, for the next few months of renewals, any way they can get their CE, they can get their CE. If it's online, we're not going to say, oh, no, you can only get 6 hours of online CE. And times are different right now. So I think if it's online, it's going to count the same as if it's live right now, for the time being.
I agree.
Perfect. Thank
you. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're all in agreement.
And as we come out of this, we might have to put statements out there that, okay, if you were eligible, and I mean, it was a year and a half before you had to be renewed, and all of a sudden, all of your items are online. We're going to have to look at that. But we'll, as we come out of this, we'll deal with it. But right now, I think we've been told that anything that is done electronically is considered live.
Right.
We'll
Dr. Grisaga,
yeah.
Members to the board, I can read you portions of the Executive Order 2027-2017 that states under 1C, it states suspend any rules that prevent or limit the amount of online or alternative learning hours permitted to issue or renew a license. And then what it says also on number 2 is, but I don't know that this would apply to the board, this would be to defer requirements to complete continuing education by 6 months unless those requirements can be completed online or due to the nature of a license is not practical. So I think that's the portion of the executive order that does address it.
There are plenty of online courses and even more now. A lot of these courses are going online now, so they're not going to have any a lack of courses that they can take online by any means.
Right. I agree. So if Mr. President and board members will allow me, excuse me, this is Margaret Whalen, under Executive Order 2020-17, I had submitted that verbiage for clarification of the order because I felt like not all of that specifically applied to us because we are a little more advanced than some other agencies regarding our electronic means and how we already accept online CE courses and things like that. So as requested by Board Counsel, can I read that into the record for your approval?
Is that a motion? Do I have to make a motion, or can I say yes?
All right.
So I don't have a problem. Does anyone else have a problem with her putting it in there?
Yep.
Hearing
no problem.
Okay.
I say go ahead.
Thank you. So this would be administration of Executive Order 2020-17. On March 26, 2020, Governor Ducey issued Executive Order 2020-17, which allows agencies to defer certain license-related requirements under certain conditions. The following three portions of the executive order that relate to the Arizona State Board of Optometry, license applicants, and license holders are as follows. Number one, a state agency can defer license renewal if requirements cannot be fulfilled online. All Arizona State Board of Optometry license renewal requirements can be completed online. Therefore, licensees must complete renewal requirements by or before the expiration dates on their license. Number two, a state agency can defer continuing education requirements if CE cannot be completed online. Under AAC R421-209A2, Arizona licensed optometrists may complete up to 12 hours of continuing education online. COPE, which is our national credentialing of CE, is modifying its rules temporarily to allow CE providers to give live credit if they hold CE courses online due to health concerns and travel restrictions related to COVID-19. If any course that was previously offered as in-person is now recorded and available for viewing online, it will still be considered an in-person course, and the hours will not count against the 12-hour limit for self-instructed media CE courses. This includes any non-COPE courses. Number three, when a pre-license examination is required that cannot be provided via electronic or remote format, a state agency must issue a provisional license to an applicant unless prohibited by federal law or regulation if the applicant has met all the requirements for a license other than the examination. Pursuant to AAC R421-203, the Arizona jurisprudence exam is available remotely with an approved proctor. An applicant may contact the board staff to obtain a list of currently submitted and approved proctoring sites or submit their own request for approval by the board. No provisional licenses are currently being considered as the board has all requirements for licensure available online. So I would like the board to make a motion to approve that for dissemination to our licensees via email, and I will also post it on the website.
This is Mona Baskin. And it's not agendized for the board to make a
to make a motion on that, to take action on it. So I think you can, I think the board, the way it is agendized, can just direct the executive director, obviously, to post that on the, you know, to post a link to that on the website, to also post a link to the governor's office website that really, that outlines, it's a quick link that will take you right to the executive orders. Very, very helpful and very informative. So I think direction from the board is sufficient in this case.
Thank you, Ms. Baskin.
Perfect. I couldn't have said it better myself.
All right.
Anything else?
I'm sorry, that's all I have. That concludes my executive director's report.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Call
so
to
Dr.
the Kasagas,
if, yes. Dr. Kasagas, this is Mona Baskin. I'm sorry. I don't mean to talk over you. I just wanted to say, so if maybe you can make a statement regarding that direction, regarding the those talking points that Ms. Whalen read into the record, and then the link to the website for the governor's office executive orders, and if you could do that.
I would like to direct staff to put a link to the governor's executive orders on our website, but to also put the verbiage that we just discussed about how we feel some of these directives affect optometry. So if you put those things on there on the website and send an email out to licensees that have a lot of questions, and I'm sure you guys are all getting questions about that too, I'm sure it'll quell some of the fear and terror that's going on out there as far as those that procrastinate.
So, all right. Noted.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Call to the public. Going once, twice, no call to the public, or no public to call. All right. I would entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Please. I second. This is Dr. Moffitt.
Okay. Then I guess I made the motion. So I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting. We have a second. Any discussion on that? I hope not. And we'll vote on that. Dr. Jones?
Aye.
Dr. Moffitt?
Aye.
Dr. Hunter?
Aye.
Dr. Mastoris?
Aye.
I also vote aye, so we will adjourn this meeting at 11:55. Thank you very much. I thought it was a great meeting. We had a lot to go over. And, 11:55, just 5 minutes under 3 hours. Everyone stay safe, and we'll talk to you in about a month.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Stay safe.
Bye-bye.